This is the Mason Vera Payne Show, your go-to lifestyle program, covering everything from technology and gaming to movies, TV shows, and pop culture to the supernatural and beyond. Brought to you by WGNRadio.com with your host, the unabridged millennial, Mason Vera Payne.
Mason Vera Payne here, live from the MVP studios in Chicago, and thank you for tuning in. There's an Illinois bill that, as of May 29th, passed both houses that will allow public aid recipients who are interested in developing a new startup business to receive a grant to do so. Illinois State Representative of the 31st District, Mary Flowers, joins me to explain the benefits of the DHS Small Business Grant Program and how this grant will be possible in Illinois' current budget situation. Thanks so much, Representative Flowers, for joining me.
Really my pleasure.
Representative Flowers, can you tell me, how long have you been in politics?
Oh my goodness. Well, I tell you something, I've been doing this for 32 years, and I can truly say I do love my job, because every day is a fight. Every day is something new. Every day is very challenging when you think about the people's lives that you are affecting. And it's not easy, you know, it's not easy for me, to go without a budget for 2 years, because I see how it is decimating more to my community and how many other people out there are crying for help. You know, we have this opioid issue that we're not talking about. We have this high prescription drug cost that we're not talking about. We have a health care bill on the federal level as well as the state level that needs to be talked about. Our schools are crumbling. Our infrastructure is crumbling. So boring? Nah. I haven't seen boring in about 32 years.
That is crazy. How did you get started into this?
Oh, back in the day, in the 70s, I was a volunteer worker for Harold Washington.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, when he became mayor, well, while state rep, I would tell him that if I was a state representative, I would have said this, I would have done that, and I would have changed the world. And he would just look at me and smile and shake his head. And so when he became mayor of the city of Chicago, he called me to his office, and he reminded me of all the insulting conversations that we used to have and all the things that I used to say. And then he told me that the purpose of the meeting was to let me know that he wanted me to run for state rep. And he looked at his watch, and he told me he had more important people to meet with, and that I'd better run and I'd better win. So that was in 1983, and I won my first election in 1984. And I've been in office since then, sworn in 1985.
Wow. I like that. You better run and you better win.
You better run and you better win. Mm-hmm. Then I had to leave. So I do love my job, like I said, because I am trying my best to help people. I don't know where people, even for the governor to be talking about term limits, I'm amazed, because to me, he wants to take away the rights of people. And how he got into his job, because the people had the wisdom to get rid of one and put him in. So if they were smart enough to get rid of Quinn and put Rauner in, if they want to get rid of any of us, they could do so. But the fact of the matter is, term limits is not putting food on the table, nor is it creating jobs, nor is it fixing the infrastructure, nor is it debating any of the other major issues that we have in this state. I don't know what the governor's up to other than continuing to campaign and run up the debt, because before he became governor, we were not $15 billion in debt. We were able to pay our bills. But since then, since he's been in office, we've been in trouble. We're just trying to find a way to fight our way out of it, and we need revenue. And I am not going to cut any more of the state's budget that affect human beings to satisfy this governor. We need more money for education. Yes, we need accountability. We definitely need accountability, but we need more money for education. We need to redo our healthcare system, you know, better our K-12, and we just have to be more creative. We need to bring the state into the 21st century. There's so many people that's hurting and crying and in need of our help and services, and we've not been able to address that, because the governor has been constantly campaigning since he won this last election without coming to the table to address the real issue.
What about your DHS small business grant program? Like, how does that fit into all of this?
You know, prior to 1996, we had aid to family with dependent children, and people were on public assistance indefinite. And then President Bill Clinton came in. He said, enough is enough, and you are going to be on temporary assistance for needy families for 5 years. And while you're on there, there's a couple things you could do. You can get married. You can get a job. And you can go to school. These are the things that you will have to do in order to get these benefits. And so that's exactly what's been happening. But when you look around the states, and plus the federal government sent the states a block grant of money. And so there's not a specific amount that is, despite the fact the federal government said that we had to spend between 75% and 80% on needy families, but we can't. Needy families, it could happen in many different ways. But the most important thing is because these families are in need and in need of jobs and job training, and we're not giving them that. That's another issue that's missing off the table. And they only have 5 years. And so when I thought about the other programs that our Department of Commerce and Community Affairs, or DECO, provide, they do provide job training for veterans. They do provide job training for people that's disabled. And there's a lot of people that's on public assistance can create their own job if they had an opportunity or if they had the help from the state. And I just want to back up a little bit because I remember when I first started in the 80s, then Governor Tommy Thompson, he had a program and he had a meeting with a lot of welfare recipients. And he asked them, what is your impediments? What's keeping you on welfare? And what can I do to assist you? So they came up with a plan. And the plan was that he would give them their, instead of partialing out their TANF grant once a month, he would give them upfront money to help them start their own business, give them help in filling out the paperwork and doing whatever's necessary, the fees, the fines, I mean, the permits to get whatever it is to start up their own business, and help them and walk them through. And it worked. As a result of what Governor Thompson did back in the 80s, there were 1,900 new businesses started and 5,600 new jobs that was created. And when you look at what we're doing here, we could do the same thing. There are a lot of college graduates that are on welfare. They're not on welfare because they want to be, but they're on welfare because they cannot find a job. And they do have ideas and dreams and aspirations. And all they need is a helping hand. And when you factor in other organizations and people that we give grants to, there was one group that was missing, and that was the people that was on some form of assistance. And that's how I came up with the idea that we should do the same thing. And one thing that really needs to be remembered about all of this, the program is called Temporary Assistance for Needy Family. And also the other part of the program is called Personal Responsibility and Work Opportunity Reconciliation. And that's exactly what House Bill 736 is doing, is giving these people an opportunity to create their own work, to get off of welfare and to become productive citizens. And as far as I'm concerned, and Representative Fortner, along with his help, we concluded that this is one of the best things that the state of Illinois could do, invest into the people, invest in creating jobs and helping them to become self-sufficient, get off welfare, and become tax contributors.
Now, is it just for welfare participants, or is this people who are on SNAP or even have WIC?
Those would be the people that would qualify. Anyone that's on the Temporary Needy Assistance Program, I'm almost positive that anyone that's on SNAP or WIC would fall into that category.
What happens if they don't know how to write a business proposal? Because I know that's part of it too, right?
Well, and that's exactly what the Department of DECO is all about. They help businesses. They help small businesses. They help employers, assisting them in expanding their businesses. It helped veterans start up their own business. So that's exactly what that agency is all about. It is supposed to help business or help people start their business and expand their business. And once again, we left one group of people out, and that is the people that's on temporary assistance for needy families. They need help. They need startup costs. They need assistance with the paperwork. They need a little assistance in paying the fees to get the proper paperwork done, filing fees. They need the know-how.
Right.
They just need a little helping hand.
What is the grant program? What would it cover when it comes to the price? Because you're saying, like, you know, all the fees and stuff. But what if it's a service-based business? Like, let's say they're doing daycare and not a product-based, like a toy store.
Well, again, if it's a service-based program, it's funny you should say that, because part of the there's four different objects to the needy family program, and one of them is to provide assistance to needy families so that their children may be cared for in their own homes or in the homes of relatives. So once again, that is a business that this agency could help them with, because this agency does help other daycare startups who happen not to be on public assistance. So, and the money is within TANF already. There's money for daycare. There's money for job training. There's money for education. So we're not talking about adding more money to the budget for this job training. This is exactly what the state should be doing right now in order to help this group of people become self-sufficient, get off of welfare, and go to work for themselves, become entrepreneurs, and again, become tax contributors.
You know, I'm so glad you talked about how, yeah, the money portion of it won't be added onto it. How can we still run? You know, if this was a business, if Illinois was a business, we would have been bankrupt a long time ago and shut down. How is Illinois still going?
Well, because Illinois is really a great state. Before Rauner came in, Illinois was doing fine. We were living close to the edge, but we were able to pay our bills. We were not $15 billion in debt. And one thing about Illinois, businesses are still here. They're still paying their taxes, and revenue is coming in every day. The court is putting pressure on us to do what we're supposed to be doing, because there's a group of people out there that need our help. Their bills have to be paid. Healthcare is a mandatory payment. People on public assistance is a mandatory payment. There's certain bills that have to be paid. And that's the reason why we do need to bring in more revenue, because of all the loans that this state has had to take out because of Rauner's shenanigans, because he's caused us to take out these loans and pay these high interest rates. And that's how we got so much more deeper in debt. But Illinois, once again, really is a great state, and it can become great again, but we need some help. We need more revenue, and we need everyone to come to the table and put their pride aside, and let's work on behalf of the people. Because when you think of so many people that's hurting on the street, that's dying on the street, the mental illness is going on, the anguish and the pain, the violence in the communities, something has to be done. And we're spending monies the wrong way. We could be investing up front as opposed to on the back end, because it's more costly.
Do you think there'll ever be a compromise when it comes to the budget?
There has to be. There has to be. If not, I would hate to think of what the possibilities could be, but there has to be a compromise. And the compromise need to be on the budget, not on Governor Rauner's political list. We need to keep politics out of this and stay with the policies, the issues that's affecting people's lives. And then when he gets ready to run again, we'll run on the workman's comp. We'll run on the term limits and the property taxes. We'll run on those issues. But right now we have some policy issues that's hurting a lot of people who can't help themselves. You know, no one is hearing their voices. And because the governor is flying around or riding through the communities and not stopping to talk to the people in the cities or where the issues are heavily impacting the families. And, you know, he just needs to stop for a minute and think about what's going on in these domestic violence homes that are closing up and the other community organizations that are closing up and the overcrowding in the courts and the overcrowding of the jails because of mental illness and other problems that are occurring, or to know that the colleges, so many kids have to leave the state and their families can't afford to send them to college. And when you think about the ramification of a lack of an education and where it's going to put the state of Illinois in the next 10 or 15 years because of the mistakes that we're making right now. We're not making good and wise choices and investing into our young people.
Well, thank you so much, Representative Flowers. I really appreciate you talking about this.
And thank you, Mason. I appreciate talking to you.
This has been the Mason Vera Payne Show. Thanks for listening. Can't wait to hear more? Subscribe, rate, and comment at masonverapayne.com. That's MASONVERAPAINE.com. Also, follow Mason on Facebook and Twitter at Mason Vera Payne. That's all one word. And don't forget to share the show with your friends.